You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you all along on this Monday. Wait, maybe I'll ask this question Jason had asked on the text line to our next guest, District 105 Representative Chip Brown. Doing his work in Montgomery, but has spent a lot of time, obviously outside this country with our military, and a student and a opinion on realpolitik out there. Chip, Jason, because I was talking about the 87% that Putin won with. You know, they said he won with 87. So when they're in the room there, trying to figure out what they're going to let Putin win with. You know, somebody would say, well, 100%. They're like, no, you can't do 100%. I've got to make it believable. 51%? No, he needs a mandate. Is it 60? When they arrive at 87%, I don't know. I'm obsessing with the fact that they pick a number to say that this is enough to leave, like, oh, it was a challenge, but, you know, 87%. So I was obsessing on that. And then Jason texted in. He said, I wonder how many people had Putin yard signs in Russia. That's the thing. Do people have political yard signs in Russia like we do in the United States?
No, I don't believe so. Although, I will tell you what, I was actually in Ireland years ago when they were voting to go into the EU. And, of course, I think they made a mistake and gave up their sovereignty and should have stayed out of the EU, just been a trading partner. But I don't think it's been a good deal for the Irish. If you go back and look at economically, they were the Celtic Tiger.
Yep,
and then
absolutely.
What are they now? They had yard signs. Well, they had yard signs, and they had signs all over telephone poles and stuff all over.
Well, of course, that's Ireland. That. I mean, if you haven't noticed, the Irish, we have things to say. Like,
that's right.
Commentary on everything.
That's right. Yeah, you know, that 87%, it's just that is an odd figure, but I would say I don't know how they came about that. Well, I might go ask the Democrat Party and the Biden team in Michigan and Wisconsin and Arizona and even Georgia to how they came up with the percentage when they stopped counting late at night on election night in 2020. What percentage did they decide to come up with?
If you're gonna pull something off, whether you're, you know, wherever you are, because somebody said the same thing that they do this here in the United States. Okay, if I would just for the exercise of discussing that, I don't know. I just obsess on the fact you pick a number, like, okay, not too much, not too little, you know.
Well, you know, the odd thing about that, I was actually reading an article where from a protest, and I've never really understood this, of course, but, you know, that was what they were doing over there. People were showing up to the polls, standing in line, but were refusing to vote.
Right.
As a protest measure, and I guess really if you're main opponents are not on the ballot, that's the only, you know, protest that you have. But, you know, there's a lot of parallels. If you go back and you look at what they've done in Russia with political opponents to what we're doing currently in the U.S., I mean, in the name of protecting democracy, we're willing to, you know, create sham charges on political opponents that we don't want on the ballot, on the presidential ballot, or, you know, bring up court cases that there are no victims to try to keep them off the ballot. And so
now I'll tell you what, when they put Trump in a Arctic Circle penal colony that we have in Alaska somewhere, then I'll get it.
And we might have one. Heck, who knows?
If you be the polar wolf west side version of it. Let's talk about some Montgomery as y'all get back into session tomorrow. And you came on with us early on after the House passed the gambling bill through the House very quickly. It came out. We talked about it, what was in it, what wasn't in it. Then, as you said then, well, it's got to go to the Senate. So the Senate gets their hands on it. And I had, watched this go through the process. I guess it was a week or two ago that I, you know, the Senate pushed it through. It was Senator Albritton came on the show to talk about the changes in there. And I said, whoa. This is not just somewhat different than the House bill. It's really different than the House bill. Now it's back in y'all's hands. What are you thinking about its chances as edited by the Senate?
Well, I don't see us concurring and agreeing to the changes that they made. I mean, I think the House bill was pretty good. I mean, it was allowed competition and it was realistic, and I think it was realistic too on the sports gaming side. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's not even in the Senate bill, right? That's eliminated. There's no sports and there's no online betting in the Senate bill.
No, totally not in there at all. But you know the thing on that, Sean. You know what's interesting to me is, and they probably don't know this, but the Department of the Interior issued a ruling. I don't know, maybe a few weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, a month ago, that you know they oversee gaming on Indian land, on tribal land. So, like in Alabama, we don't oversee the casinos at like Porch Creek that they have.
PCI.
Right, PCI. So, we don't get a dime off of that. That's the other thing, too. You know, we don't, unless they enter into a compact with the governor, and even then, it's going to be in the form of fees. You can't tax a sovereign nation. You can't, as the United States or as the state of Alabama, we cannot go on to tribal land and tax them. However, we can charge them fees if they enter into a compact and agreement with the state of Alabama. But the Bureau of Indian Affairs, they issued a ruling a few weeks ago that tribes could participate in online gaming in sports betting, that sort of thing. So you're setting up a scenario where, okay, we don't have online, you don't have sports betting, say, on your phone, but the reality is they would be able to do it. So they would end up with a unintended monopoly over that. And the reality is, I like to deal in realism. And the reality is, people in Alabama do sports betting every single day.
Mm-hmm.
They go through VPNs. They use illegal accounts offshore. Go through Panama. I mean, there's a whole host of things and. That's already going on. So I think this notion that somehow we're not going to include that in the legislation because if we do, it'll just go away and people won't do it, I think is just, it's unfortunate. I think it's just not living in the real world. It's naive.
Let's return to that deal. And I've talked about this several times, but I think it's worth revisiting this idea of a compact. So sovereign lands, here's PCI operating their facilities on their land, sovereign land. But they are hamstrung by what happens in the state that sovereign land lives in, exists within.
Right.
Because as go the state goes what they're allowed to do on that sovereign land. So it's not completely sovereign. So the compact would be trading the state of Alabama doing these things that would let these other versions of gambling go on inside the sovereign land in exchange. Like right now, they don't have to do anything. Like you said, you can't tax them, but a compact would be like, okay, if y'all will change the state law so that can trigger this, this, and this inside sovereign land, then we'll kick you back this much money. I mean, I kind of put it in Sullivanese, but that's what it seems like to me.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, but Bureau of Indian Affairs is saying they're not having any more liberty, right? They can do online, but they can't do casino. I mean, what is it? I mean, there's a trade here.
Well,
there's a trade between PCI and the state, right? That's what a compact is. It's a let's strike a deal.
Correct. And we, one of the arguments that I hear people make, and I ask, well, that's not really true, is that if you vote for the lottery, we'll have class 3 gaming in Alabama. And class 3 gaming is full blown table games, just regular casino. Go to Biloxi, that's class 3 gaming. But we already have that. And we already have it because in the 1970s, we approved Mobile Greyhound Track, Birmingham Race Course, Victory Land. All of these were approved through amendments in the 1970s. And so we already have that, but there's a provision in federal law and through the Bureau of Indian Affairs that says that they cannot have class 3 gaming unless they have a compact.
Mm-hmm.
So technically they could do a compact today and have table games. If you go up there, it's bingo machines. It's a colluded formula. It's just like if you go to Victory Land or you go to Birmingham Race Course, those are not slot machines. Those are paramutual machines based upon historic
horse racing.
Historic horse racing.
It's so silly.
It's such a nuance in the law. It is silly.
I mean, it's like either you're going to have a slot machine. Right. It's the market finds a way. You say, well, you know, you can't have these slot machines. Well, we're not really doing that. We're playing old horse races. I mean, it's a slot machine. So come on. So either do it or don't.
That's right. So, and that's the thing. Like, let the people vote, man. Just let them decide. Throw it all out there. Let the people vote. I mean, we haven't had a vote since 1999, and then it was just on bingo. I mean, not bingo, but on the lottery. But just let people vote. That's it. Put it out there. Let the people vote. I don't understand this. Like, the Senate bill, you know, stripped all that out, and the current places, which Mobile would not get a fair shake in that, because you end up there's really nothing going on at Mobile Greyhound track right now, but it would allow paramutual and it would allow bingo machines, well, or historic horse racing machines. Now, let me ask you a question, Sean. If you were inclined to go to a casino, you wanted to bet on something, are you going to drive to Mobile Greyhound track and play a historic horse racing machine, or are you going to go to Biloxi and go to a place that actually can offer a show, a restaurant, office?
Hey, go 35 minutes more or whatever and go on to Biloxi. Go another 35 minutes west.
It's just a setting everything up for failure. And it's just, to me, it's just not a good piece of legislation.
Okay. So
I think we don't concur. That's what I want to do, is not concur. Let's let, you know, powers that be go to conference and try to work something out and see what we come up with. You know, it can't hurt.
Well, because I would imagine with the changes, number one, I mean, you as a Republican talking about it, but the Democrat support that's always necessary to get these things through, that's going to go away, I would imagine, with this what's coming out of the Senate. So the Democrats in the House have voted for it. They're not on board, I can't imagine.
Well, I would think not. I haven't had conversations with them, but I would think that they wouldn't be. I don't think you have the votes in the House to pass what the Senate sent back. I mean, there's really there's no reason to send back what they sent back. I mean,
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like in the past, when Del Marsh a couple of years ago brought this thing out of the Senate, it goes and dies in the House. They be rah 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 in the Senate, goes and dies in the House. Here, rah 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 comes out of the House and it goes to the Senate and dies. I would think with the changes, I mean it's not going any further with those changes.
Even if you look at where they, you know, they did it in a special election in September versus, which is going to cost the state at least $5 million to do a special election where that's the only thing on the ballot. You only have special elections, in my opinion, if you want to kill something. So I think that's the intent, is to not pass anything, just keep the status quo. Because if you do it in the general election, you know, I've heard the argument, well, if you do it in the general election, then it's just going to drive Democrat turnout, particularly in the second congressional district. I disagree with that, because if you look at the turnout in the primary, the Republican turnout in the primary in the second congressional district was equal to the Democrat turnout in the primary in the second congressional district. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have Donald Trump on the ballot, and Donald Trump is a performer turnout-wise. And I think we have a very good shot of winning the second congressional district, just based on what the turnout is going to be, regardless of if you have gaining on the general election ballot or not. And so I disagree with that argument. I think that that's just an effort to try to not let the people have their say and not let the people vote. At the end of the day, that's what I support. That's what the majority of people in the House support, because we heard from constituents that want the opportunity. I know people, Sean, that are 100% opposed to any form of gaming, but they want to be able to go to the polls and vote no. And that's what we've got to do. We've got to give them the best piece of legislation that we can, put that out there. And the people that want to vote yes, go vote yes. The people that want to vote no, vote no. But I think we've got to listen to the people, and the people want the opportunity to vote.
All right. But the chances are right now, as it looks, they don't look good for being able to reconcile between the Senate and the House.
Well, I don't say that, because, you know, you know how Montgomery is. Montgomery is, everything is, there's always a couple different sides. And when what I mean by that is, I think that there is an opportunity for us to non-concur, which means we don't agree to the changes. And then you go to conference, and we send our representatives, and they send their representatives. And I think we have an opportunity, possibly, depending on who's on the conference on the Senate side, to come up with some legislation that might be something that is acceptable to both sides. So we'll see. I don't know what that would be, but we will see.
All right. Representative, we appreciate it. We'll get you back on the show soon to talk more about it. And y'all get started tomorrow. I guess y'all are halfway through the actual legislative days.
We are. We're at the midway point. And, this week's a big week. I've got my seafood labeling bill is in Senate committee on Wednesday, which would require people to restaurants to tell you what where their seafood comes from. That's in the Senate, passed the House. It's in Senate committee, and so we'll see how that goes. And I have a bill in the House, HB 165, that's in the Judiciary Committee on Wednesday that will require parents to give consent to any type of vaccination of their children. So it's a big week.
It is a big week, and appreciate you checking in before you get back up to Montgomery, and we'll watch it. All right, thank you, Representative.
Sounds good. Thanks, John.
All right, there he goes, Chip Brown, and we're coming right back. More Midday Mobile.